So I'm very, very happy, more than happy, to be in this satsang once again after a couple of months of silence on my part, and also to be entering into this conference, into this class on the subject of practical enlightenment, or as this class is called, practicing enlightenment. It's actually the core of what most deeply interests me in life, as I know is true for many of you. And so I'm really looking forward to many different kinds of enlightenment during the course of this time together. Practicing enlightenment, to me, is the absolute essence of what it means to live a spiritual life. Like a lot of you, I discovered years ago, I know that there are many of you here who've been practicing for a long time, some of you who've been practicing for a short time, all of you who are drawn to this profound, sometimes confusing, always different understanding about the experience of enlightenment and the balance between recognizing the absolutely uncontainable quality of what we call, for want of a better word, the enlightened experience, and also the fact that we can invite it, we can practice it. You know, that there are certain practices, certain ways of holding yourself that in the moment, not always in every moment, but in many moments, can actually open your awareness to, you know, what I, at this moment, want to call the big ah, the mystery, presence itself, beingness, you know, that thatness for which there are so many words. These practices can give you glimpses and sometimes lengthy immersions and sometimes permanent opening into that reality of open awareness, blissfulness, the state, the experience that some teachers call a relaxed mind, or the state where there are no problems, the immediate recognition of luminous presence. There are many, many different ways that we describe the enlightenment experience or the experience of awakening. And so that, you know, that glimpse may be only a glimpse, but even a moment of recognizing the presence within you of awake consciousness helps to ground yourself in essence. We're going to be using different words in the course of these calls to describe that indescribable something, that something which is no thing and yet is everything. So one of the words I like to use for it is essence. Essence is a great word in Sanskrit. The word is sara, and it actually, it of course means that which is irreducibly itself, that which is the core, the heart, the source. And it's a wonderfully meaningful word, and yet also we can attach to it many different meanings. It also happens to be the first word I ever heard back in the early 70s when I first started doing spiritual practice. It was the first word I heard that conveyed the mysterious quality of that, of what it was that we were, let's say, looking for, which of course we subsequently discovered is that which is looking. So over the years, as we've cultivated the recognition and the immersion in essence, often in meditation, sometimes in moments of overwhelm or moments when we are immersed in consciousness, what I would call problem consciousness, and which sometimes we've actually been gifted with as an absolute grace-filled intimation of ourselves, because that experience we're calling enlightenment, and as we'll see in a minute, it's a word that is subject to many misinterpretations, but that state, experience, station, way of being, way of seeing that we are calling enlightenment, is always a gift. It's always something that emerges, that shows itself to us, that that is not under our control. And yet the paradox is that to practice enlightened consciousness is very much within our capacity. So while we're acknowledging that practicing enlightened, that the experience of opening up fully to the mystery is not something that we manage, but we also acknowledge that it's something that we invite, and that as we learn to invite and invoke and put ourselves into relationship with that in ourselves, that both underlies everything, transcends everything, and allows life to be an experience of freedom even when it's not blissful, and an experience of being in touch with innate blissfulness even when we don't feel at our best. To practice enlightened consciousness is the most incredibly brilliant and sophisticated version of fake it till you make it that there is in this world. And it's, of course, it's one of the bases not only of spiritual practice, not only a way of deepening our experience of our deep self, it also happens to be one of the best ways there is to live a truly human life, that is, to live as a full human, a great human. Because, of course, what we find out is that the qualities of enlightened consciousness are also the qualities that make what Native Americans call a true human being. So we're going to begin. We'll be working with many different approaches to awake consciousness or enlightened consciousness. And we'll begin with a chant that's from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. It's a chant that actually asks for the grace of the great ones to open us up to meditative awareness, that asks us to see ourselves, to know ourselves through the gift of grace, through the powerful and mysterious quality of grace. And this chant actually is a prayer, and I'll give you the translation of it. Some of you are familiar with it, and we'll also be chanting along with a CD with someone else's voice, because as those of you who know me know, my voice is not the world's greatest voice of a chant leader. So the prayer goes, and Debbie will have sent this to you today, so you should have it, and if not, you'll pick it up. It's because we'll chant it a few times. And the words go, Asato ma sadgamaya, which means lead me from the unreal, that is the belief in my separation and limitation, to the real, the recognition of my oneness with the divine. And the second line goes, Tamaso ma jyotirgamaya. Tamas means darkness or ignorance. Jyotir means light. So this verse says, this line says, lead me from the darkness of ignorance to the light of knowledge. And the third line, Mrityor ma amrita gamaya. Mrityor means death, meaning the death that comes to us over and over again when we identify ourselves with our limited being. Lead me from death to amrita, to the experience of nectar or immortality, which is a state of being fully awake to the essence. So if you'd like to place yourself in a comfortable upright posture to allow the breath to bring your sit bones and hips and buttocks into full contact with the seat, with the chair, to allow your exhalation to lift your body up from that grounded base so that your chest lifts and opens. And just to take a moment or two to focus on the breath here at the end of a Wednesday in the month of June, in the year, the fateful year 2012, the amazing year of Awakening 2012. And we'll chant Asatoma Gamaya for a few moments, and then we'll do the prayer dedicating our practice, asking that our practice be of benefit to all beings. We ask that our practice be of benefit to all beings. We ask that through our practice, all beings experience happiness and the causes of happiness. That all beings experience freedom from suffering and the causes of suffering. We ask that all beings know the sacred joy that lies beyond suffering. We ask that we experience equanimity beyond clinging, aversion, and ignorance. And we ask, may we know the equality of all that lives. Now, with your eyes closed, tune into the rhythm of the breath flowing in and out. Let yourself feel your way into the river of the breath without trying to change it. Just allowing the breath to flow in and flow out. And as you allow yourself to experience the rhythmic flow of breath, begin to have a feeling that you're opening to the energy of the universe, the profoundly nurturing, ever-present, gentle power of life that flows towards you through every particle of the world, that's contained in the air as the prana, that's contained in your body, and that in the deepest sense of the word is the power of love that explodes into existence when this universe first comes into being, and that which continues in every moment to support and uphold our life. Feel now the profound presence of this energy flowing into your body with the breath, flowing through your body with the exhalation, recognizing that the breath connects all living beings. And let yourself drink in this subtle, nurturing presence that wants to flow through you, that wants to open you up to the universe. Let yourself drink it in. Let it flow into you through your pores, through your heart, through every particle of yourself. Let yourself receive it as though the universe is very, very gently and yet insistently making love to you through the breath. There's nothing you need to do. Just allow the energy to flow with the breath, to soften the parts of your being that feel tight, knowing that whatever state you're in, whatever mood you're in, this energy, this nurturing presence is always supporting you and opening you. And this energy, the energy of grace, wants to awaken you, enlighten you, let you know yourself. Let you know that presence itself. Just let yourself be receiving what is constantly being offered. as we continue, as we look at, unpack, and experience the, both the concept and the actuality of what we call enlightenment, just see if you can keep some part of your attention flowing with this subtle breath that's bringing in the grace, the nurturing energy of the universe. Let yourself receive it. It's really the experience of the feminine aspect of awake consciousness, is this nurturance that we receive from the particles of air, from the universe itself, as we open, as we allow it to flow in. And I just want to say a little bit about the term enlightenment and the issues that we sometimes have about it, the expectations that we sometimes have about it, and kind of make clear how it is that we are going to practice enlightenment during this time together. Of course, in the West, I've been reading the history of ideas recently, and in the West, of course, the word enlightenment actually refers to the intellectual revolution that occurred in the 18th century in Europe, when scientists and philosophers and humanists revolted against the received authority of the church, the all-powerful church of that time. Of course, that process had begun earlier, but the 18th century is when it was seemed to really impact people all over the Western world. Immanuel Kant, the great modern philosopher, described enlightenment as the awakening from our self-imposed immaturity, which is actually a very telling and useful phrase, and in a phrase that still sounds to me like a universal wake-up call, he wrote, "Dare to know. Have courage to use your own understanding without guidance. See what you can see." And of course, what he was talking about was coming out from belief, coming out from dogma, actually learning how to understand the world, the nature of the world, by facing into it directly, by experiencing it. And of course, this is part of the profundity of the teaching of enlightenment that comes out of the Eastern traditions, out of Hinduism and Buddhism and Taoism, which is that the experience of waking up, of perceiving with clarity, is something that you must grasp for yourself. It's not something that you can get by believing somebody else's teachings. And of course, there are masters of contemporary enlightenment teachings in certain traditions who will tell you that nothing that anyone tells you about enlightenment is necessarily applicable to you, because your awakening is going to be unique to you. My experience of awakening in all the different ways in which I've awakened over the years, and all those moments when after falling back asleep I've awakened again, my experience is, and I think this is probably true for many of you, that actually when you have that opening, that illumination, that clarity that we call enlightenment or awakening, that first of all, it feels extremely familiar, like, oh my God, I knew this all along. But secondly, it feels completely surprising, because it's always a little bit different. And also, very often in those moments, you go, aha, oh, this is what Shankara meant. This is what Ramana Maharshi meant. Oh, this is what Eckhart Tolle was talking about. This is what my guru, Swami Muktananda, was talking about. It's like you kind of go, oh, yeah, I was listening to this teaching, and I was going, right, okay, he says so, I'll accept it. And suddenly, it becomes illuminated. So the fact is that the experience of enlightenment or awakening, whether it's momentary or permanent, has to be your own. But it's also a great help to us to have listened to the descriptions of that place where no description can reach, by the masters and the regular people who have tried to describe it. And it's it's actually very, very profound to read the words of Ramana Maharshi, for example, who says, just be and it is, you know, or the writings of Catherine of Genoa, who said, my I is God, or Meister Eckhart, who said, the I with which I see God is God. You know, the mystery of unity and clarity that experience shows us. And the Eastern view of enlightenment, of course, is different than the Western idea of enlightenment, although they have very similar, they actually refer to something very similar, because we actually become enlightened every time we see through illusions. Whatever the illusion is, the illusion that you have to live the way your parents did, there's an enormous awakening that comes when you realize, oh my God, I don't have to live by those conditioned patterns. I don't have to be a doctor. The illusion that you can only have one kind of life. The illusion, for example, that the stock market is real. The illusion that you have to have a certain kind of relationship in order to feel fulfilled. The illusion that intelligence is enough. The illusion that just being a nice person is enough. The illusion that it's not okay to be unkind. I mean, there's many, many illusions that we wake up from moment to moment. But of course, the deeper meaning of awakening, enlightenment, is that it's what really happens when we wake up is we wake up to unrecognized dimensions of ourselves. You know, so you might awaken to the energy in your body. I can remember when I first did yoga back in too many years ago to count, the recognition that there was actually a change in my inner state that came about when I put my body in certain postures was radical. The awakening to sexuality, to your own sexuality, the awakening to the recognition that love is really present around you and doesn't have to come from a particular person, awakening to new ideas, awakening into the recognition of more freedom. So, and finally, awakening from, you know, what's called in the non-dual traditions, the dream that this reality is the only reality there is. It's literally a kind of disillusionment, a waking up from illusion. One of the songs that one of the poet saints of India used to sing, and many people, many of the saints from this tradition sing, I was asleep, I was dreaming, I'm a separate person, I'm the best looking girl in the room, I'm a nerd. And then I woke up and I saw, oh my God, I'm not that. I'm pure presence. I'm awareness. I'm, you know, to use the phrase that we like to use these days, I'm spirit having a human experience. Oh my God. So the experience of awakening is an awakening, is a disillusionment. And there are several aspects of it. We're going to talk about them. We're going to work with them at length. One of them, of course, is this recognition that you're not the person you take yourself to be. You shift for a moment or a week or a lifetime to realizing that what you are is not the limited personality. It's not your skills. It's not dependent on the other people in your life. It's presence itself. You know, and there are different ways to describe this, of course, that I am consciousness, I am the witness, I am pure awaring, I am loving, radiant background to thoughts, I am love. It's nice if that's your awakening. I always like that awakening where I recognize I'm love. And at the same time, I've always found it a little bit easier to open up into the recognition, oh, I'm not my thoughts, I'm awareness. It seems to be, that particular awakening seems to be quite accessible, as we'll be practicing. practicing later today. So another aspect of awakening here is waking up into the recognition of the power inside you, you know, the currents of wisdom and knowledge inside you that you may not even have been aware of. You know, we could say the unknown dimension of yourself. And for people who experience awakening as the awakening of the meditative energy Kundalini, it's often accompanied by a sense of tremendous, opening into a kind of power and love that you didn't know was there. Sometimes that experience is momentary. Sometimes it lasts forever. For most of us, it's an unfolding experience, an experience that is actually progressive and evolving. Another awakening experience is simply the recognition of the inherent insubstantiality, the emptiness of your self construction, of your self contraction. In other words, you shift from fully identifying with your separate self, with all of its, its inherent suffering, all those qualities of believing that if you don't get what you want, your life is not okay, and depending on your skills and your intelligence, and just the idea that, you know, that you are this empirical person, what we sometimes call the false self-personality, into the limitless space or ground from which all experience arises. You kind of wake up to recognizing that which is behind all this. So, and again, this shift happens in many ways, and it's often described in different ways by different traditions, which sometimes can be confusing. In the devotional traditions, in Christianity, in Sufism, in devotional Hinduism, that awakening is often described as awakening into oneness, or as falling in love with God, or just awakening to the blessings of the divine. So awakening of the heart. In other words, in the devotional traditions, awakening is often described as blissful, as loving, as filled with the sense of presence as a divine being. Of your connection to something greater, higher, more loving. The practice that we were doing at the beginning of the class is one of those practices that can effectively begin to open to that sense. However, in the Vedantic and the Advaitin and Buddhist traditions, the understanding of awakening is really much more about cutting through the illusions of the mind. Recognizing yourself as free from the mind, and this kind of awakening, the awakening to the self beyond the mind, is sometimes called the awakening of liberation, or the awakening of emptiness, the enlightenment of emptiness. And the idea here is that you're trapped by your ideas about yourself, by your conditioned awareness, and that if you can free yourself from this story, if you can step outside your constructions, then there's a great awe, and you are, for that moment, liberated. And in those traditions, enlightenment, liberation, is equated with freedom from the constructs of the mind. So the awakening of liberation, the enlightenment of liberation, which is actually, I would say, in the spiritual circles that I'm familiar with, it's kind of the way that we postmodern spiritual practitioners often think of awakening as the liberation from story. Eckhart Tolle and Byron Katie and and Adyashanti and other, you know, skilled and awake modern teachers often talk about it like that. The other way of awakening, the other form of enlightenment, the enlightenment that is most associated with mystical Christianity, with mystical enlightenment, you know, the enlightenment of mystical Christians, of Sufis, of Hindus, is sometimes called the awakening of fullness, or another name for it, for that level of, that kind of awakening, is self-realization. Yogananda Paramahamsa, one of the great Hindu teachers to set up his sangham in this country, called his organization Self-Realization Fellowship. And his teaching, which was very much like my guru's, was that what enlightenment is the full unfolding of the innate and divine powers of the essence. So in other words, enlightenment is the realization that yourself is not simply awareness, but is also divine love, wisdom, untold strength, power, ecstasy, freedom. Self-realization is really an opening into the, you know, the kind of vastness of yourself from the point of view of fullness, whereas liberation, which takes you to the same place in the end, is the awakening to the vastness of yourself by letting go or giving up or being freed from your limiting ideas. And we're going to be practicing enlightenment in both traditions, in both ways of experiencing ourselves over the course of this class. And we're also going to be doing some of the nitty-gritty work that Western spiritual practitioners have understood in the last 50 years or so are absolutely necessary for embodying our enlightenment. In other words, many of us today, especially those of us who practiced for a long time, recognize that it's not enough to have an experience of awakened consciousness, even though it's transformative and profound and incredibly important. It's necessary that we embody it, we integrate it, and we bring our full human self into alignment with what we most deeply know. Some of the teachers who are involved with the integralist, what's called the integralist movement in this country, have a lovely formulation about enlightenment. They say that what you do is you wake up, that is, you realize that you're not this limited self. You recognize the true self. And then secondly, you grow up. That is, you move through the developmental stages that are necessary for being a full, mature human being. And the third is you show up. That is to say, you allow yourself to be fully present and active in the world, acting for the sake of the whole, acting in an enlightened way for the sake of humanity, and hopefully being able to make a difference in the world, whether on a small scale or a large one, by deeply showing up for life. So enlightenment is waking up, growing up, and showing up. That is, getting to know yourself for what you are, developing the parts of yourself that are lagging somewhere behind the rest of you, and then showing up for life. And as such, it's a full and exquisite journey. And I'm in this 3 weeks, in this particular class, we're going to focus mainly on the waking up, but we're also going to work with the other two. We're going to work with some of what it takes to grow up. That is, we'll work with how our understanding of our own essence can impact the neurotic or immature aspects of ourselves. And we're also going to as much as possible, work with showing up with our best presence, our highest presence in our daily life. And one of the things that I think we we know, if those of you who've taken these classes, that in these classes there's really an invitation to take what happens on the mat into your day-to-day life. So let's just once again close our eyes. Be present to the breath. Allow the flow of breath to draw in the energy that's always loving you, that's always nurturing you, that actually wants to awaken you to the presence that is your deepest self. Just allow yourself to breathe in and let the breath flow out with the sense that that presence is here, full, and little by little entering your being and opening you to yourself. And allowing your awareness to stay with the breath, to flow with the breath, I'd like to ask you now to remember a time when the self-contraction of your sense of limitation eased up and you actually experienced your own fullness, your own awareness, perhaps love, perhaps just the sense of greater possibilities, perhaps a full bore, right on, you know, complete aha, falling into the blissful ocean of consciousness, classical enlightenment experience. Just let yourself remember a time when you felt like you awakened to the deeper presence that is you. Remember what it felt like, remember when and where it happened, and just see if you can bring that experience to mind. And see if you can once more open it up inside your being, inside your heart, inside your mind, just to see if you can recollect that experience. What was it that opened you? Was it a moment of love, a moment of in nature? Was it in meditation? It's still inside you. And if you're like me, every single one of those moments, which I know for many of you are not just isolated moments, but actually very much a part of your daily life, but those awakening moments are among those moments that you will remember at the point of your death, because those are the moments that tune you into what your life is about, along with the great moments of intimacy or love with another person, those moments of recognition are really key to your purpose in life, and they're also very natural. They're actually, as I'm sure you know, the moments when you're experiencing life as it's supposed to be, as you are supposed to be. And as I said, today we're going to focus on awareness, on the recognition of what it's like to, for a moment, drop limiting ideas. We'll practice some of the techniques of self-recognition beyond the mind. In Kashmir Shaivism, in the great text Shiva Sutras, there's sort of the nutshell, the nugget of what this practice is about. And it says, the first sutra in the Shiva Sutras says, Chaitanyam Atma. Atma means self, and Chaitanyam is one of those big words that means, it means awareness, freedom, wisdom, love. It's like, it means the awareness that is utterly free and completely omnipresent and totally empowered. In other words, Chaitanya means the transcendent awareness that's the source of everything. And the verse says, the line says, yourself is that. And the next sutra, Sutra 2, says, Jnanam Bandha, meaning the constructions of what we think we know about life limit that consciousness. So, in other words, what it's basically saying is, you are supremely free consciousness, and your ideas about who you are limit that consciousness and make it small. So that's one reason why in the non-dual traditions, including the tantric traditions, the first step in enlightened practice, and the one that it actually is most accessible to most of us, the first step is to free ourselves even for a moment from identification with the stories that we tell ourselves about who you are, about who we are. And the understanding here is that, well, we'll just practice and then we'll see what the understanding is. We're really going to practice recognizing that our own awareness, that which remains when we've deconstructed our normal ideas, is actually what we are. So, having given you that clue, I'm going to offer you a series of self-inquiries. Some of you have done these with me before, some of you haven't. And as those of you who are versed in self-inquiry practices know, the secret of this kind of practice is not to settle for the answers that come up in the mind, but actually to have the intention of tuning into the immediate awareness that arises in the wake of the question. When you really ask yourself one of these questions, there's going to be an aha, an experiential moment that will arise before you start figuring it out. So that's where you want to go. In other words, you're not looking for an answer. You're just looking, you're using these questions as a kind of a little invitation to shift. So you can sit in a comfortable upright posture. You can allow the breath to bring your attention into the base of the posture. You can allow your exhalation to draw the torso up through the crown. Without thoughts, without memories, without ideas, without emotions, without perception, am I happy, unhappy, or neither? without thoughts, without memories, without ideas, without emotions, without perceptions? Am I happy, unhappy, or neither? Just ask the question and notice what arises. Without thoughts, memories, ideas, emotions, perceptions, am I a good person, a bad person, or neither? Without memories, ideas, thoughts, emotions, perceptions, am I perfect, imperfect, or neither? Without thoughts, memories, ideas, emotions, perceptions, if I don't use thoughts, if I don't have any ideas, if I don't pay attention to my memories, if I don't define myself through my emotions or my perceptions, without these mental activities, what am I? Without thoughts, without ideas, without memories, without emotions, without perception, what am I? Without thoughts, without ideas, without memories, without perceptions, without emotions, what am I? Just notice what arises. No thoughts, no emotions, no ideas, no concepts, no memories, no perceptions. Without those things, what are you? Even the idea, I am consciousness or I am awareness, is an idea. So without that, without thoughts, without ideas, without memories, without concepts, without emotions, without perception, what are you? Without thoughts, without ideas, without emotions, without memories, without perception, what are you? What are you? Once again, with pure intention, and then letting go of even intention, without thoughts, without ideas, without perceptions, without memories, without emotions, without any association whatsoever, what am I? What am I? What am I? What am I? And as you tune in even for a moment to that sense of what remains when you let go of thoughts, ideas, perceptions, emotions, when you actually investigate what you are without thoughts, ideas, memories, emotions, perceptions, when you let yourself investigate what you are, how big is it? Does it have limits? Does it have a name? Does it have problems? That which arises when you allow yourself to notice what you are without thoughts, ideas, emotions, memories, perceptions. How big are you? Do you have limits? Do you have problems without ideas, thoughts, memories, perceptions, emotions? What are you? What are you? And as thoughts come up or as you get distracted, just see if you can ask yourself this question without thoughts, without emotions, without ideas, without memories. What am I? So we can take a moment now to, if anyone has anything that arose for you that you'd like to share with us or ask, you can press *6 and unmute yourself. Somebody already has. So if something arose or something confused you, if something occurred to you that feels important, you can unmute yourself by pressing *6. Without thoughts, without ideas, without memories, without emotions, what are you? What comes up? And if *6 doesn't work, you can try *7. Without thoughts, without ideas, without memories, without perception. What are you? And in that is a kind of wordlessness. So I'm happy to experience that wordlessness with you.
Hello, this is Sally calling back.
Yes,
yes, you guys are being very patient. I hope you're talking to each other. So,
now I hear
I think
you.
That, oh, okay, great. Yeah, no, I actually kept getting bounced off the call. So God bless the conference call company. And so you might want it, this might be a good moment to, if anyone wants to talk about your experience with that practice, maybe someone feels less silent now.
I'll say something if I can.
Okay, who is this?
Yes, this is Peter.
Hi, Peter.
Hi, I'm glad to be here, Sally. I just want to say I'm very new to meditation, so I'll just tell you what I experienced. It was kind of it sounds cliche, I guess, but just a kind of a vastness, a big open space. Nothing. What can I say? Nothing in particular. Just a vastness.
This openness.
At one point, I saw a bit of light. Yet, I guess it could be called an opening. I didn't feel elated, but it felt good, and there was absolutely no problems. You're right. There's no problems. No. A lot of space.
Peter, that's actually a very beautiful experience of awareness without an object.
Is it? Wow.
That's a genuine opening, and it's not necessarily elating, and it doesn't necessarily have light or bliss. It's like the beginning of a recognition that that the more you tune into it, the more it deepens and starts to show itself. So that's a powerful and beautiful experience.
Wow, great!
And
thank
you. So is there anyone else who's hung in through the interruptions who has something you'd like to share with us?
Hi, Sally. I'm Sonali here.
Hi, Sonali. Nice to hear your voice.
Hi. Yes, it's
Hi.
Quite late here, but I felt very, very sort of void, and I couldn't talk at that time. So when you said press, and if anybody want to talk, but it was just so deep. Oh, just wonderful.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you, and it's very late in England, so I'm pleased that you're awake. And if there's someone else, yes, oh, that's great. And is there someone else who'd like? Yes, no, it's thank you. Thank you so much, Sonali.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes. And anyone else? Without thoughts, without ideas, without emotions, without anything conceptual. What are you?
Hi, Sally. This is Kate.
Hi, Kate.
I just wanted to say that I experience a lot of neutrality. I just enter in sort of into a neutral space. You know, there'll be, for example, my sister was out mowing the lawn, and I could hear the lawnmower and feel the vibration, but it's like it's just there, and I'm just here, and it's just very neutral.
Yeah, that's a good way of experiencing it. When we get it, when we're in that, you know, we could call it the observer state or the no problem state or the awareness state. A lot of things come into our awareness that might ordinarily be annoying or distracting, and we're actually able to kind of include them. Is that what you're
Yeah, exactly. It's just sort of, it doesn't really, they don't bother me or distract me or,
And I, you know, I would say, I mean, just pointing this out, that this practice, this particular inquiry, which I'm going to send you the, as the written version of it, is actually, aside from anything else, it's a terrific practice to do when you're annoyed or upset or when you're, in form of problem consciousness. It really does do exactly that. It puts you into the place where you experience yourself as a pure observer, and you actually can start to recognize, well, everything can be as it is, and it's okay as it is. And this experience of neutrality is it's one of the powerful doorways to an awakened consciousness, to an, to the consciousness of open spaciousness. And so I'm going to mute you. And thank you for getting through the going down of the line. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about the fullness experience, the fullness doorways into the enlightened state.
I ask a question.
Hello. Did you want to say something?
This is Evelyn. Can you hear me?
I can, and I think everyone else can too. Hi, Evelyn.
Hi. Yes, I was in the no problem state, and it happened that it's almost as if I was asleep, although I wasn't, but it was like kind of dream stuff.
Mm.
You know, is that nothing to do about that, but watch it.
Right. Well, so were you having images or, kind of a sleepy feeling?
Yeah, they would. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was got very relaxed. And that's for sure. But some images.
Well,
that's all.
What it sounds like to me, and it's actually a very classic experience of moving into the meditative state, which is part of what will happen when you do an inquiry like this. There's a level of your awareness that's between wakefulness and dream, and it feels like you're in a deeper state of consciousness than your waking state. But you're not asleep, and this is one of the one of the portals, one of the experiences of the meditative state. So it's very relaxing, and there's a sense of being present, right?
Yes.
And then stuff is kind of going on. There's images going on, the little squibs of feeling, and that's that actually, as you tune into that. As you start to be present to it more and more, you realize that you can then go deeper into a state of presence and meditation. So that's great. And so we're going to do a final meditation. Before we do, let me just say something about our our protocol here in the class.
Oh. Oh no.
Whoops.
Did we lose her? A lot of noise on the line.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of telephones open.
Yeah, hopefully she will mute us. I'm going to mute.
I hear a cell phone, yes.
Oh, if the cell phone's that can sometimes. (Clears throat) I was disconnected and had a lot of trouble getting back on.
It took
me a while. I wonder how many people are on the call.
Hello?
Yes?
Hello?
Is that Sally?
Hello.
It's everybody but Sally.
Okay.
Hi,
I don't think Sally's
Sally
there.
Back again.
She is. She's
I'm
back.
Oh, there she is.
Here I am, yes. I think it's time to change conference holders. But
would you mute us all, please?
What, honey?
Would you mute us, please? I mean, or should we all just self-mute?
I will try to. That it's actually trying to mute you that made the line drop the call. But I will mute you, and if I lose you, I'll come back.
Maybe we should just mute ourselves.
Okay, so it feels like you are all muted. And again, I apologize for the call problems. So, protocol, and I promise that next week we won't have this problem. Insofar as one can promise anything in this world. So you'll be receiving a homework assignment, a written homework assignment, and in which I will actually give you the step-by-step of the practices we've been doing. A little bit later in the week, there'll be a meditation, an audio meditation that you can download. And there's actually a couple of ways you can do this class, and it's been my experience that the most powerful way is to actually set aside 20 minutes a day when you meditate daily with the practice that you'll be doing, and also that you work with the contemplation practices that I'm going to be sending you. These are what I call walking around practices, and there'll be a different one every week, but there are actually ways of holding a particular kind of awareness as you're walking, as you're washing dishes, in interactions, so that you can actually start to seed, what we could call enlightened practice, enlightenment practice into your daily life. And that's the way in which the practice starts to resonate and actually transform your life moment to moment. And it's one of the most powerful ways of doing a class like this is to actually not just when you're on the mat, but in every moment that you remember to do it, bringing one of these ideas, one of these understandings into your life. So one of the practices that we're going to be working with this week is the one we've just done. And again, I'll give you the written version of it without thoughts, without ideas, without emotions, without memories, without perception, without any verbal concept. What am I? And then just letting yourself experience what occurs to you in that moment. And as I say, it's a very good thing to ask yourself when you're feeling stressed, when you're uncomfortable, when you're
Hi, so I got bounced from the call, and we're going to do a final meditation. And I just want you to know that I'm going to send you a recording of the call, of all the parts that you missed because of the problems with the line. So you won't actually miss anything that we were planning to do in this class. So we're going to again be meditating, and this time we'll be meditating on the enlightenment of fullness. And again, I'd like to ask you to settle your body, to allow yourself to let the breath bring your attention down into the base of the posture, the hips and thighs and sitting bones, And then with the exhalation, allow the body to lift up from that grounded base up into the crown. One of the most profound and powerful practices for experiencing fullness, to experiencing the recognition of fullness, is a very simple practice of tuning into the memory of love. So I'd like to ask you to bring into your awareness the feeling in your body of a moment when you felt your heart open, when you felt yourself loved and loving. Or alternatively, you can actually bring to mind someone that you love, someone that you care for, someone whom you feel very safe and comfortable with. And as you bring the thought or the memory of this person or this animal or this place or this moment, a person or a place or a moment where you feel or have felt affection, you allow that very simple thought or memory to bring your awareness into the heart. It's kind of amazing how bringing into your mind a thought of someone you love can actually affect your whole body. And with that experience of affection in your heart, see if you can allow that moment of affection, that moment of opening, that moment of awareness to just spread through your body. And with the breath, allowing the attention to flow in and out through the heart, let yourself rest in that recognition of affection, tenderness, love as a presence that is actually available to us, as a tender feeling that's actually available to us in any moment that we choose to remember it, or to remember something that triggered it, that opened us up to it. And allow yourself to just breathe in and breathe out with your awareness in the heart. And just let yourself experience even a particle or a moment, even the smallest sense of that presence of love as an opening into the fullness of what you are. The breath flowing in and opening you to that presence, to that fullness. The breath flowing out and allowing it to spread through your body. Without any forcing, very gently, let yourself keep tuning back into that loving experience, that sense of the presence of love, of tenderness, of affection. you'll be receiving a homework assignment this evening. A meditation assignment, and also some awarenesses or questions that you can work with during the week. And I'm also going to give you a contemplative homework assignment that is a way of actually considering what practicing enlightenment actually means to you, and it'll involve about half an hour of contemplating and writing. And those of you who would like to work with a partner, with another person in the course, you can let Debbie know that you'd like to have a partner, and she will assign someone to you. And you'll also be getting some practices that you can work with another person in a partner arrangement, knowing that often having someone you can talk about what's going on with you and talk about some of the ideas and understandings in the class, that's a very helpful way to enhance your experience. And it's optional. It's an offering for those of you who would like it. So we'll be getting together next week, and I'd like to encourage you to write into the listserv anything that you experience, any questions you have. And again, I will record the things that we were going to talk about and the other meditation that we were going to do that was interrupted by the line going down. And you'll receive that tomorrow, as well as the MP3 download of this call. So thank you so much for being together with us and for your patience. And for those of you who are listening on the MP3 download, it's a pleasure to know that you'll be joining us tomorrow or the next day or in the week to come. So with great love and great deep respect and a sense of kinship and openness to the experience we share, I wish you a beautiful week, a beautiful evening. Namaste.